and I'm going back. I'm going back. Back to the honky tonks. Back to the honky tonks. Back to that dirt road life. I know home sweet home.
The greatness of Daryl Dodd getting things going for us this morning here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. I'm Cable Smith. And you know what? I might just be going back to the honky tonks this evening. Hope everyone had a great week. Pleasure to be here with you this morning. Thanks for tuning in and choosing to start your weekend with me right here at KHYI. We don't have a lot of time to exchange pleasantries this morning as we've got a jam-packed show for you, starting off with a man who caught Cher Lunker number 500, Sam Callaway of Corpus Christi. Then we're going to talk to one of your favorite range artists, Roger Krager. He is an avid offshore fisherman. And last but not least, Jim Ronquist of RNT Game Calls will join the program. He is a world champion duck caller. He'll be at the big Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo, which comes to DFW. That's right, the Gaylord Texan, May 28th through the 30th. I'll be there. So go ahead and come say hi. And there's something for everybody. This is not just for waterfowlers. If you enjoy the outdoor lifestyle, there is something for you there. I promise you that. Moving right along here this morning, a reminder to keep sending me your best outdoor photos. Send them to cablewaco@yahoo.com. Each monthly winner will have their photo posted right there on my homepage at texasoutdoorsmedia.com. They'll also receive a year subscription to Lone Star Outdoor News and be entered into our grand prize contest, where we'll be giving away a trophy whitetail or wild boar hunt at the end of the year. Now let's go ahead and read our weekly excerpt from the book Poachers, Crooks, and Other Turkeys, written by our Texas Parks and Wildlife Game Wardens. This one is titled, Looking for Arrowheads Leads to Drug Violations. Newton County Game Wardens Landon Spacek and Ellis Powell were patrolling county roads when they came upon a man standing next to his truck with a flashlight. The man said he was looking for arrowheads. The warden searched the truck and found scales, $638 in cash, a pipe, and 4 grams of methamphetamines. First-degree felony charges of manufacture and delivery of a controlled substance were pending. All I can say is congratulations, you're an idiot. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to the man who landed Cher Lunker number 500. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
Such emotion when you just
Cable Smith here to tell you about my family friend, Jerry Malzahn, over at Malzahn Landscape. Malzahn Landscape has been serving North Dallas, University Park, and Fort Worth for over 30 years and has done some of the finest landscapes in North Texas. Jerry currently has 200 beautiful specimens of red oaks, cedar elms, live oaks, and crepe myrtles that would make wonderful additions to any yard. For estate grounds maintenance or installation, call the premier landscape company in North Texas. The choice is simple, Malzahn Landscape. Call Jerry at 972-567-1950. That's 972-567-1950. Today. Outdoor Pro Shops is Dallas's oldest and largest full-line archery shop. Come set up a new bow or change the strings or fine-tune an older bow on our indoor range. We carry a full line of compound and traditional bows in the following brands: Matthews, Mission, Hoyt, Elite, Struthers, Martin, and PSC. Outdoor Pro Shops has it all. Free setup and lesson when you buy a bow. Stop by and tell us you heard this ad and save 10% off any bow sight or 20% off any Black Creek bow case or backpack. Visit us at www.outdoorproshops.com or call 972-414-1969.
Come experience the beef jerky outlet by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland. We carry the best jerkies, 8 different flavors of Sunland peanut butter, and a wide range of hot sauces and delicious salsas. Ever tried deep fried peanuts? They are so good you can eat the whole shell. We also have gourmet Wisconsin cheeses available to sample. You can also enjoy our edible crickets, worms, and scorpion suckers. So let the outdoorsman in you experience the beef jerky outlet for yourself. Check out our website at www.dallasjerky.com. Beef Jerky Outlet, located by the Bass Pro Shops in Garland.
The Y.O. Ranch Steakhouse combines an elegance and southern hospitality reminiscent of their famous South Texas ranch. I've had the signature buffalo filet, hands down the best steak I've ever eaten. Featuring a full menu of steak, seafood, and wild game, this is the steakhouse for the outdoorsman. Located in Dallas's historic West End District, call 214-744-3287 or visit them online at www.yoranchsteakhouse.com. Tell Tony you heard about them on the range and get 15% off your meal. Y.O. Ranch Steakhouse, the official steakhouse of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Upset.
Good morning, Texas. Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. It's a pleasure to be riding shotgun with you this morning. This segment is proudly brought to you by Moe's Tackle Unlimited. Now, in case you haven't heard, Cher Lunker number 500 was caught at OH Ivy just about 2 weeks ago by Corpus Christi native Sam Calloway. Texas Parks and Wildlife paid Sam $500 per pound. And at 13.34 pounds of Lunker goodness, you can see that that translates into a lot of money. And it is now my pleasure to introduce the man who caught that bass that will go down in the history books as the 500th Cher Lunker ever taken out of Texas waters. Sam, thanks for joining the show this morning, and congrats on Cher Lunker number 500.
Oh, thank you, Cable.
Yep, quite the accomplishment, my friend. You, much like Roger Krager, one of our other guests this morning, are a Corpus Christi native, and so saltwater angling runs deep in those Texas veins. About how much time do you spend freshwater fishing each year?
Now I'm all saltwater fishermen. I fish three tournaments a year now, freshwater tournaments, and the rest of it I go every week, sometimes twice a week, depending on the season and the weather.
And you're going offshore, right?
I go offshore when I can, and that's starting right now through September. We'll be all offshore, and then the bay. We have one of the largest lagunas in the world right here in Corpus Christi, so we get some fantastic bay fishing here. And that's
I know, man. I try to make it down to Port A at least a couple times a year. So when you head offshore, what is it that you're mostly after?
My quest for fish is tuna, the yellowfin tuna. That's just to me, one of the most fantastic, great fishes to catch. Not only do they fight well, they're fun to catch, but they eat extremely well. So I love the tuna.
Man, is it ever. And you know what? You don't even have to cook mine if you don't want to.
Right now we're doing a lot of bottom fishing for grouper and amberjack. Matter of fact, I'm leaving tomorrow to go on a trip. So snapper season will open pretty soon, and that'll be something we'll be doing, I believe, next month.
Oh, I love going after amberjack. You know, you take a little piggy perch, put it on a hook, throw it out there, catch a blue runner off of the surface, and then grab a bigger hook, put that blue runner on it, sink it 200 feet down to the bottom off an oil rig, and just wait for that thump of an amberjack.
Yeah, we're doing, we catch either blue runners or hardtails, and that's the key. If you can get on a rig and catch the hardtails or blue runners, you're going to be guaranteed to catch an AJ and a grouper. But we do the same thing for grouper, too. Just put them on a big huge hook and weight them down and send them to the bottom and kind of drift along. But you got to get in some structure to catch those and the rigs.
Well, Sam, I'm sure you also felt a pretty good thump when you landed this 13.34 pound bass at the Permian Basin's Oilman's Bass Invitational on OH Ivy. Now, you passed a lot of big bass water on the way from Corpus to Ivy. With five of the previous nine Lunkers coming out of Ivy, did you participate in this tournament specifically in hopes of landing Lunker number 500?
I didn't even know about Lunker number 500. I was familiar with the Cher Lunker program. Heard about it. Honestly, I didn't think I would ever be the one who caught a Cher Lunker, and so I never read much about it and had no idea they had a countdown to 500 and had a bonus of $500 a pound for it. So that was a surprise after I weighed the fish in.
Right, and what a surprise that was.
Yeah, it was a surprise.
So at $500 a pound, Texas Parks and Wildlife paid you $6,670 plus whatever else you earned at the Oilman's Bass Invitational for catching the big bass of the tournament.
That's actually a team tournament, and this is for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. It's their annual fundraiser for the West Texas, the Permian Basin chapter, basically a fundraiser. So they don't pay much, and it's a day pay by the first day and the second day. The first day we were sixth place. The second day we didn't even come in the money, and we came in eighth overall, though.
Sam, prior to catching Lunker number 500, what was your personal best largemouth?
Personal best, I caught 11.2 at Falcon Lake probably 18 to 20 years ago, turned it back. So I've never mounted a fish because I was a tournament angler for many years. So I have that bass angler's attitude. I'm not going to kill a fish for any reason, a bass. You know, you'd catch 9.5, 10 once in a while, and that's still a big bass.
Heck yeah, it's bigger than any I've ever caught. I could tell you that.
And catching them in a tournament is just a bonus, you know, because you get, for me, the bragging rights are more valuable than the money. I don't know what the overall is. They actually mail you that check. You know, I won a couple of thousand more dollars in that tournament for the overall and the big bass, but that's about it.
Well, the money doesn't hurt. I mean, we're talking about an $8,500 bass now.
Yeah, not bad for a day of fishing. And, you know, that tournament, again, I had to be there because of them. It wasn't all luck. You know, we did plan to fish the spot we fished after extensive fishing that we had no bites. You know, we actually thought the fish should be staging to spawn, and we fished staging areas for practice day and for 2 hours that day of the tournament. And never had a bite. So I made up my mind that the big fish, I know, tend to spawn early on most lakes. So we went ahead and took a chance and went to a spawning flat. That's all it is a flat from a point to another secondary point. And we stayed out there, and it didn't take long to figure out they were there, you know, about 10 minutes. And there were some big fish there. My partner also caught a 10-23 the next day in the same spot.
Dang, and y'all only finished in 8th place for the tournament. That's some pretty stiff competition. Well, let's get into the most exciting part of this story, and that is you actually landing this monster. Describe the conditions on the morning of April 9th.
All right, we had a great day for fishing. It looked like it was the wind was going to cooperate. It's going to be about 8 to 12 mile-an-hour winds. The sun was out, no clouds. The water temperature was starting to rise. It was about 61 degrees where we were at, and just a beautiful day for fishing. The lake was a little crowded, though. There were 298 anglers at this tournament, not counting the local people out that were fishing for the 500, I found out. Mm-hmm. So it was a little crowded. Every spot we went to had two or three boats already on it, so you were fishing used water. Even the spot where I caught the large fish, the 1334, there was a boat on that spot, and we waited for him to leave and caught that fish behind him. We got in. We targeted 6 to 8 foot of water. The water was a little turbid, so you couldn't see bottom even at 8 foot, and that was perfect for spawn, so we didn't have to, you know, spook the fish. And we were throwing, I rigged up a Carolina rig, and on that lake, I use about a 4 foot leader. It's just what seems to work to get that lure up over the brush. Your weight knocks the brush around, and then that lizard, I was using a Zoom Watermelon Red Magnum Lizard. As a matter of fact, I switched from a 10-inch worm to that Zoom Lizard, and my partner said, I thought you were going to throw something else. And I said, well, I was, but I'm going to put a Magnum Lizard on, and I'm going to catch a Magnum fish. And it wasn't 3 minutes later I caught that fish.
Oh, my gosh.
We had enough wind where the boat would drift, and we could throw out, if you want to call it, perpendicular to the boat, and kind of just barely reel your reel, and when it got behind the boat, we'd pick up and throw back out, cast back out. So we kept moving, kept our bait moving, and there were spots of brush in there. That brush was about 3 foot high, typically, and there was quite a bit of it. And you went through brush, you would either hang up or catch a fish or get a bite. And because that lake is one of the few lakes in Texas that when they impounded it, they didn't cut one single branch off, and it's solid trees and solid brush the entire lake. It's really brushy.
And I'm sure that has everything to do with the huge bass that are being caught on Ivy on what seems like a regular basis.
Yeah, the fish, the Texas TPNW have done a terrific job managing it with their biologists and the things that they've done. They're helping with weigh-ins now to keep the fish alive. With their tanks, aeration system, so they're doing a tremendous job. Plus, when they first started that lake, the brood fish they put in there probably came from the Sharelunker. Well, they did come from the Sharelunker program, and so they've got some good brood in there, and they're trying to get some of the smaller fish out so they don't have so many bass in the lake. So they're doing a great job of managing that lake right now. That's what's keeping them coming. Plus the cover they've got, and it's just got a tremendous amount of bait fish in there, too.
Once again, we're visiting with angler Sam Callaway, who recently landed Sharelunker number 500 on OH Ivy. Sam, what were you thinking once this fish was hooked? Did you know right away that it was a massive largemouth?
Not immediately. I felt the bite, and now that, you know, hindsight, there's something made me set the hook. Everyone that's bass fished in a lake like that's been hung up before in brush, and you know how it feels. I felt something, though, that made me really set the hook hard, and I reared back as hard as I could, and it just, I felt nothing for probably 3 to 4 seconds. There was just nothing there, but just solid. It was just solid as a rock, and I just...
Like you were snagged on a limb or something.
Like I was snagged, but I stayed on it. I stayed bowed up on it. Finally, I felt a little movement. I said, oh, it's a fish. And I didn't actually say anything to my partner, and I felt her coming up. She was coming straight to the top. I went ahead then and, you know, tried to lower my rod to keep her from jumping, but she was so big and fat, she couldn't even get more than half her body out of the water. But when I saw that head, I knew what I had. And I started saying words that I couldn't repeat on this station. But my partner then, I said, oh, it's a big fish. It's a big one. And of course, then it came up again. He saw it. He said, that's a Sharelunker. And wow. I did something I normally don't do. I'm used to fishing Amistad. That's one of my best and favorite lakes. You usually have enough water on that lake to let your fish play and use your rod like it's supposed to and your reel. But on this fish, I knew there was brush there, and there was probably 3 to 4 more brush piles between myself and the fish. So I reared back on her, and I cranked her as hard as I could. And that's not meaning I horsed her in the boat, because you can't horse a 13-pound fish. But I did all I could to keep her on the top of the water, which typically you don't. But I didn't want her going down and getting in a bush, because I knew if I did, she'd never come out.
And what kind of rod and reel were you using?
I was using an all-star rod, 7-foot heavy Carolina rig rod. I use the Quantum Kevin Van Dam signature reels. I believe, and there's a lot of good reels out there, but you need something with a really good drag system. And I learned that actually saltwater fishing more than freshwater fishing, but that's what I had. And I had just put on brand new 20-pound big game, which is extremely hard to break. And I had actually put that on that morning. I retied that morning from the day before. Because I'd stretched it a couple of times that day before when I got hung up. So I've changed that line twice in 2 days.
Wow.
And it paid off.
Yeah, in a big way. Now, after you weighed the fish and you realized she weighed over 13 pounds, did you immediately call Dave Campbell at Texas Parks and Wildlife to come get the fish? I mean, did your fishing partner know about Lunker 500?
Yes, he knew about it. But he didn't know we had caught the 500, though. He hadn't kept up that close with it. But when we weighed in, we took it to the tournament headquarters because they had early weigh-in for big fish to keep them alive. It started at 10 o'clock, and we had to mess around there for about 20 minutes before we actually went to weigh-in. Got there, and as soon as we laid her out and they weighed her, there were probably 8 people there that were helping with the weigh-in from the PBOBI, and they're the ones, that's number 500, that's number 500. They actually picked the phone up and said, we've got his number right here, and they called him.
Oh, wow.
I jumped into the golf cart, went up the hill to the marina, the Concho Park Marina, and saying we put her in the minnow tank, and he called David, but he said he's already been notified and on the way.
And about how long did it take David and Texas Parks and Wildlife to come and collect the fish?
They got there about, 4 o'clock, so it took them 6 hours.
They really do impressive work over at the Sharelunker program.
You know what they do? They not only do impressive work, but they do it in a good way. And those are some of the finest and nicest people I've ever met. Impressive people. Larry Hodge and David Campbell were just extremely nice and make you really feel good about catching that fish. Again, the 500 hadn't even sunk in yet. I didn't really, at that time, I hadn't realized what I had. I just knew I had a big fish, and it felt good to have that big fish. But they kept going on about the number 500, and it didn't really sink in good till the next day.
Uh-huh.
And now your fish is safely residing inside the Lunker Bunker at the Texas Freshwater Fishery Center. Sam, congrats on what all of us anglers would call the catch of a lifetime.
Thank you very much. I can tell you one thing. I had not necessarily given up, but I had resigned to the fact that I probably will never catch one that big. But just keep plugging away. It happens to lucky people. I mean, I know there's skill involved, but it's nice to have a little luck on your side once in a while, too.
Well, we appreciate you, Sam. Have a good one, buddy.
Yeah, I thank you.
We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll visit with one of my favorite and probably your favorite range artist, Roger Krager. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
Nickel old Miller Lite, Guinness by the pint glass, Doppelbock lager, take his waller because it's going fast, oatmeal stout.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Spagnuolo from TexasMotorCars.com. I'm here today to tell you about the best place in Texas to shop for your next vehicle. TexasMotorCars.com is a family-owned and operated business located in Addison, Texas. We have a huge inventory of pre-owned vehicles and specialize in trucks and SUVs. Please visit TexasMotorCars.com today. Come see me, Brian Spagnuolo. Our phone number is 972-481-1660.
Largemouth bass fishing on Lake Fork is a Texas tradition. And Tim Walker of Tim Walker's Guide Service has been guiding on Lake Fork for over a decade. He can put you on a trophy largemouth or a full stringer of crappie. He also offers night trips on Fork and summertime stripers and hybrids in Lake Tawakoni. Stop by his Lake Fork bait shop located at 5190 North FM 17 and say hello or check out the website at timwalkersguideservice.com. For the fishing trip you won't soon forget, give Tim a call at 817-999-7876.
Have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution. The System Hog Trap comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or check out the website at www.goinfencing.com. That's G-I-O-N-fencing.com or call 940-391-3669 today.
If you enjoy fishing, then you've got to go fishing on Lake Texoma with Brian Pritchard at Stripers, Inc. Brian has a lifetime of experience fishing Texoma and takes the utmost pride in providing the highest quality care for his customers to ensure an experience they'll never forget by becoming a friend rather than just a fishing guide. You are guaranteed to catch fish with Brian or your trip will be free. Check out his website at www.stripersinc.com or give him a call at 903-815-1609 to set up your next fishing trip.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting! Southern Deer Stands product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Listen up, anglers, because you need to know about the unbeatable prices at Moe's Tackle Unlimited. Moe's is a web-based tackle supply company that offers deep discounted prices. Lures, hooks, flies, freshwater, and saltwater, Moe's has it covered. Our goal at Moe's Tackle Shop is to provide super service, top-shelf quality, and great prices. Check us out at moestackleshop.com and enter the promo code LoneStarOutdoorShow to save an additional 10% on your order. That's www.moestackleshop.com.
Ever want to ditch that Texas summer heat and go on the trip of a lifetime? Rogue Excursions is currently trying to fill limited spots for the 2010 summer season. Sportsmen can see Alaska firsthand, take advantage of the plentiful fisheries and breathtaking views, hook up with all five Pacific salmon species, battle giant halibut and ling cod, and other native species. Located in beautiful Sitka, our operation is designed to be the trip of a lifetime. Visit us at www.rogueexcursions.com or call Captain Cameron Clifton personally at 817-994-2254 and ask for the range specials.
This is Whitetail Biologist Dr. James C. Kroll on the Lone Star Outdoor Show, 95.3 The Range.
South of San Antonio, outside of Rangers Pass, east of Corpus Christi, you won't find it on a map.
All right, Cable Smith welcoming you back to this morning's presentation. Hope that you're having a wonderful Saturday morning. This segment is proudly brought to you by Game Guard, the official camouflage of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. My next guest this morning is an award-winning Texas country music artist, having released 5 studio albums. He loves him some offshore fishing, and his latest single, Driving Home, recently climbed to number 1 on the Texas music charts. Roger Krager, thanks for being a part of the show this morning.
My pleasure. Good to talk to you, Roger.
Pleasure is all mine. Roger, how's life on the open road treating you these days?
Well, thankfully, the weather's finally gotten a lot better here. We were freezing all winter. We're this week in Kansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and it's actually beautiful up here, too.
Roger, your latest album, Here It Is, was released in 2008, so it's been a long time coming for your new hit single, Driving Home, which recently climbed to number one on the Texas music charts. Tell me a little bit about that tune.
Well, Driving Home is our fourth single from that record. We had Up in the Beer Joint, A Good Day for Sunset, and I Love Being Lonesome, and now Driving Home. And Driving Home went number one a few weeks ago. It dropped down to the number three spot and then got a resurgence of energy here, and it's now number one again. That's the first time that that happened, but I'm welcoming it. I like that.
And in the process, you displaced your buddy Josh Abbott's number one song, She's Like Texas.
He was number one last week.
Yeah, either number one or number two. I'm not really sure. But I do know that you got to work with Josh on his album She's Like Texas, and I love the song End of a Dirt Road, which you appear on, and y'all talk about deer stands and shooting birds and drinking beer. Kind of tell me about what it was like working with Josh on his latest album.
You know, I've known Josh for a few years, and we mostly just visit at shows and when we do things. He's a cool guy. You know, you get kind of so into your own gig a lot of times. Do what you do, keep your head down and rolling, and then, you just look up every once in a while and see, realize, well, there's this new guy on the scene. Josh is killing it. But, you know, he's a guy that we hang out with a lot when we're around, and working with him, I didn't really get to see him a whole lot in the studio, but Trent Woman and I were asked to sing on, I forgot the name of the song now, but Live a Dirt Road, that's right, yeah. Honored to do it. It's my pleasure.
And I don't know if you knew this or not, but Josh mentioned that Kevin Fowler was supposed to be on that tune with you as well. But I guess Kevin called in the next day and said he totally forgot about it. Is that about par for the course for him?
I have no idea. I don't know. I wasn't really part of that whole thing. I know that Josh talked to me, and I know that he talked to Kevin and Trent. And Trent and I were able to do it, and Kevin wasn't. I don't really know.
He said that Kevin was hunting, so I guess we'll give him a flyer on that one. Roger, my favorite song of yours, and one that I think speaks to a lot of outdoorsmen, is I Got the Guns. Tell me about where you found the inspiration to write those lyrics.
Yeah, that's a real story about my life, really, about my family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My granddad died when I was 18 months old. He actually, that'd be a whole other song, but he died in Swan Hospital. I was born in Swan Hospital. People say, what does that mean? He died on the Corpus Christi Bay. Well, Spahn Hospital is overlooking the Corpus Christi Bay. He died the same day that my sister was born, in the same hospital. And, I've always known that growing up, but man, as I get older and think of just how profound that is for my mom to have her father dying three floors away while her daughter's being born.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy. Maybe that's a whole other song.
Man. Yeah, I can't imagine what it would be like to give birth to your daughter and lose your father at the same hospital on the same day. What kind of guns specifically did you get from your grandfather?
Well, I got a 270. 270, that's the rifle that I shot my first deer with.
Uh-huh.
I got a 410 shotgun, and I used to hunt with that when I was a kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what else did I get? I don't know, I've forgotten. Is it a 20-gauge or a 16-gauge? It's in the song. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
I've never fired that one. It's a bolt-action. Bolt-action, and one. I've never seen a bolt-action shotgun before. And this was old. And, yeah, it's probably not worth a whole lot of money if you put them all together, but I guarantee you I'm not going to get rid of them.
Yeah, it's probably best just to let a gun like that one look back at you from inside a nice display case. You're a Corpus Christi boy, Roger, and I know you enjoy saltwater fishing. What's your favorite fish to pursue, and how much time do you get to spend on the water each year?
Man, I spend as much time as I can down there. I've got an offshore fishing boat in Freeport. And, I mean, if I'm not on tour and the weather's nice, I'm out there. The problem is when I'm on tour a lot of times, the weather's nice, I'll be reading the reports and going, oh my God. And I get home and it gets rough. That makes me suicidal during the summer.
Right.
I need that for my sanity to get out there and have some fun. And that's how I relax and unwind. You know, Kevin likes to hunt, and I like to fish.
And when you head offshore, what fish do you like to target? Tuna, grouper, red snapper?
My favorite is Yellowstone tuna. Uh-huh. Problem is, you have to go about 120 miles out to sea to get them, which is a long, long boat ride. That takes forever.
Oh, yeah, at least 4 or 5 hours, I would think.
Well, that's if the weather's nice. You know, if it gets rough, well, if it gets rough, I quit going if it gets rough. But it's taken me as much as 8 hours.
Man, 8 hours, that's dedication right there. We usually go out about 60 miles and catch our limit of red snapper. That usually takes about 2.5 hours to get out that far.
Where'd you go out of?
I've got a buddy who lives in Portland, so we usually head out of Port A.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's great. Hey, if I can, let me tell you about a couple things I've got coming up here that I'm real excited about, if you don't mind.
Oh, by all means, Roger, go ahead. I do have an idea that one of them's going to be the Big Music Cruise.
One of them is the Big Music Cruise. We're playing Larry Joe Taylor's festival, and the Reckless Kelly guys called me at 3 in the morning last week and challenged my band versus their band to an Iron Chef cook-off.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have one right there at Larry Joe Taylor's festival. We're going to Iron Chef each other. Larry Joe will be the judge. We're going to film it, look for it on the internet. That should be fun. And I'm just going to tell you straight up, those guys are going down. Just look at my band. You know we know food.
Right on. So Larry Joe Taylor is actually going on today. So what's on the menu?
Oh, we don't know yet. We haven't put it together yet, but it doesn't matter. We're going to win. And the other thing, let me tell you about this. We've got this cruise coming up. It leaves out of Galveston. I think it's a 5-night cruise down to Cozumel and Progreso, I believe. It's the only cruise of its kind I've ever heard of because all the drinks are included as well. Food usually comes with it, but drinks do too with ours. And it's Bart Crow, Trent Wellman, me, and Brandon Jenkins. And if you've ever been on a cruise before, then you kind of know how that goes, and you're familiar with it a little bit. I promise you, this is nothing like that. This is the equivalent of going snow skiing versus going on a big ski trip. It's just not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a vacation this summer, it's July the 5th through the 10th. The time is now to sign up for it. Should be a lot of fun. Bring your drinking shoes and let's have some fun. Rock the boat.
Well, it sounds like a heck of a party, and you can learn more about the Big Music Cruise by visiting Roger's website at rogercrager.com. You can also check out the latest news and music, also tour dates, and for our neck of the woods, I guess the next time you'll be rolling through town is the Cinco de Mayo Festival at the beginning of May. A couple more quick questions for you, Roger, before I let you go. Tell me about the best fish that you've ever caught.
The best fish I've ever caught, I caught down in Costa Rica. It was about 100 and something. We didn't weigh it, so we just estimated it to be right around 100, maybe a little more than that. Sailfish.
Mm.
Got a couple photos of it, and we released it, Catch and Release.
And would you say that that is the most fond memory that you have that occurred while you were fishing?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, but that's probably the coolest fish I've ever caught.
Well, who was responsible for instilling that love for fishing inside of you?
I don't know. I've always just joked and said I was born, 200 feet from the bay. I grew up with saltwater in my veins.
Mm-hmm.
But my band was antagonizing me one time, rolling down the road. Man, you could buy a boat. The payments are low and this, and you keep it here, and it'll be so easy. And they were telling me this thing, and I went, huh. So the next week we went out on tour, and I said, hey, I bought a boat. And right from the beginning, I loved it. I didn't even know how to fish. I didn't know how to run a boat. I didn't know how to do anything. And picked it up, learned. As I roll into the marina down in Freeport, I met a bunch of guides and made friends with other fishermen and learned fairly quickly. It took me about 3 years, I guess, to get worth a flip at it. But
mm-hmm.
I think I knew I loved it when I went out there and I was able to relax.
Right on, man. Well, Roger, it's been really nice visiting with you this morning. We'll be looking forward to this afternoon's festivities, the Iron Chef cook-off against the Reckless Kelly Boys.
They're going down. I'm telling you.
Well, for those who don't make it out to Larry Joe Taylor today, be sure to look for it on YouTube. And, Roger, you said the Reckless Kelly Boys called you at 3 a.m.? Probably a drunk dial, huh?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But those guys cheat. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Reckless Kelly is habitual cheaters.
Really?
I wouldn't be surprised if we show up and Emeril Lagasse walks off their bus. That would be about par for, of course, those guys.
Oh, man. Well, we'll be pulling for you guys.
All right. Well, thank you.
Roger, it was nice talking to you, buddy.
Yeah, bud. Thank you.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, world champion duck caller Jim Ronquist joins the program. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
It ain't nothing new. In fact, it's been going on so long. That woman aggravates me, man, and she just keeps on and on.
Cable Smith here to tell you about my buddy Steve Pebley over at Cooper Lake Guide Service. Fabulous state parks and lodging combined with almost no fishing pressure or boat traffic has caused Cooper Lake to become one of the best hybrid and white bass destinations in Texas. With over a decade of experience on Cooper, Steve knows the lake like the back of his hand. So to learn lake info, see videos and pictures, and learn Steve's best hotspots and waypoints, go to www.cooperlakeguide.net. Or to book a one-of-a-kind fishing trip with my buddy Steve Pebley, call 214-240-0801. That's 214-240-0801.
Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers is running a huge special on all trailers in stock. From four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion. We also sell and install the widest selection of CM truck beds in the state of Texas. Special orders and trade-ins are welcome, and we have easy financing available. Stop by one of our conveniently located stores in Aubrey, Fort Worth, or Rockwall, or visit us on the web at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. Call 817-654-9220 today.
Hey outdoorsmen, it's that time of year again. The wind is changing and the temps are rising, so let's put away the camo and guns and get the tackle box ready. We all know that you're familiar with Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star State. Well, they're at it again, and now they're making a real difference in the fishing apparel industry. Game Guard is bringing that same commitment to quality and technical apparel to those guys and gals on the water. Game Guard's vent back shirts are offered in 7 great colors and perform like no others. Game Guard is Texas-based, family-owned, and committed to their loyal customers. Fishermen have many choices when it comes to outdoor apparel, and Game Guard is dedicated to earning your business. So be sure to ask for Game Guard at your local hunting or fishing retailer, or go to www.gameguard.net. Game Guard, the official outdoor apparel of the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Are you looking for the perfect place to send your hunting buddy? Then check out Tioga Retrievers. With over 20 years experience, Angie and Tim Becker can provide you with a field champion or a well-rounded hunting companion. Tioga Retrievers takes pride in catering to the needs of each owner and their dog. Conveniently located 45 miles north of DFW in Aubrey, Texas, Tioga Retrievers also offers day training and boarding. Call 940-440-0018 or visit them online at www.tiogaretrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A retrievers.com.
Outdoorsmen are always looking for the best way to prepare our meats, and that's why you should check out Smoke and Tex. Smoke and Tex builds fully electric, portable, stainless steel ovens that are built to last. We feature amazing customer service with an industry-best 2-year warranty. Visit us at www.smokeandtex.com for the easiest way to gently cook moist and tender brisket, ribs, chicken, fish, and wild game. Prep the food, load the oven, add wood, set the temperature, and walk away. The static air environment locks in the flavor for you. Call 888-922-1511 or visit us at smokeandtex.com and tell them you heard about it on the Lone Star Outdoor Show for an exclusive special.
I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
You just roll on Cold River, watch little Moses.
Cable Smith welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range. This segment is proudly brought to you by Southern Deer Stands. Now, before I introduce my next guest, I just wanted to remind you, if you ever miss a show, be sure to check out my website, www.texasoutdoorsmedia.com. Every show is saved right there as a podcast for your listening pleasure. Oh, and one other feature I wanted to make sure you're aware of is my concert calendar. It's right there on the homepage as well. It'll let you know when your favorite range artist is rolling through the North Texas area. So be sure to check out the website, texasoutdoorsmedia.com. Now, if you don't know, the Ducks Unlimited National Sporting Expo is coming to the North Texas area. That's right, it's going to be at the Gaylord Texan the weekend of May 28th through the 30th. Ducks Unlimited has partnered with the Lone Star Outdoor Show and will be providing a special guest for us for each of the next 5 weeks leading up to the expo. This week, Our special guest is Jim Ronquist, world champion duck caller of Rich and Tone Duck Calls. Jim, thanks for coming on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, Jim, the pleasure is all mine. Now, what exactly will you be doing out at the Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo that last weekend in May?
Well, we're going to be hopefully making some new friends and maybe settling a few duck calls, showing people our wares. One of the things we're also doing is kind of neat. We're working with a kids group, and I can't tell you the exact name of the group right off the top of my head, but we've donated 250 duck calls in pieces, and we're going to take two groups of kids at two different times, and they all get a duck call. But the neat thing is I'm going to coach them on how to put it together and tune it, and then just get them started learning the very basics of operating a duck call. So that should be a pretty interesting deal.
Yeah, 250 youngsters blowing duck calls. I'm sure it's going to sound pretty interesting, to say the least.
I can about near bet you it'll be interesting.
But that's the key, you know, getting youngsters involved in the outdoors.
Right. Hey, you know, the kids are the future of keeping this waterfowl resource that's so important to us to help keep that alive and growing.
That is exactly right. Jim, you're one of the most respected duck callers in the country. Your first major win was at the 1991 Eastern Kansas Open, and more recently you won the 2006 World Championship Duck Calling Contest and followed that up with back-to-back wins at the 2008 and 2009 North American Duck Calling Championships. First of all, what happened in 2010, and in a career laden with victories, which one means the most to you?
Well, that's a really good question. I thought I'd try to go to a contest without any practice whatsoever and see how it worked out. Well, as you can see, it didn't work out too good for me.
Okay, so lack of practice is why you didn't three-peat in 2010. Now, you've won, what, like 16 championships in your career?
Something like that. Besides the World, I won the U.S. Open back when it was in its prime, back-to-back, 98-99. In the World in 06, and yeah, I've been playing that game for a pretty good while.
And in a career that has more victories than you can shake a stick at, which one means the most to you?
Oh, I'd have to say World Championship. That's what we're all looking for. I mean, that's why you get into playing such a silly game as blowing in a duck calling contest. You know, the only people that really care about it are you and your closest family member that came to watch. But it's all about the holy grail of being able to hoist that big trophy. All the guys that are out there doing it and working hard and traveling, spending a lot of time, it's not so much about the regionals it takes to get there. It's about being the last one standing on the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
So at what age did you start blowing a duck call, and when did you realize you were pretty handy with the things?
Well, that's an interesting question. I was fortunate to grow up in a hunting family, duck hunting, goose hunting, turkey hunting. So calling was a big part of all of those hunting sports, and started blowing duck calls when I was probably 7-8 years old. You know, when I was a kid, everybody said, oh, you need to go get one of them contests, you're pretty good, you know. And I thought, kind of got big-headed and excited about that. The first contest I went to, they used my rear end for a broom to clean up the stage when it was all over with. Got a good taste of a good humbling in that process, and then realize, hey, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to put some time into it. And there is quite a bit that goes into becoming a competitive level contest caller. So you put a lot of effort and time and practice into it. There's a lot of people out there that some of the best duck hunters I know wouldn't give you a kiss off their rear end for every contest in the country. So you try to get around as many of them people as you can that are just good, solid duck callers and learn from them, and I learned how to apply that to contest stuff. And, of course, hunting comes first for me anyway. So I worry more about my hunting calls than I do my contest calls. So that made it a little bit easier for me to make the transition.
And I assume that anyone that comes to the expo in May will have a chance to listen to you blow a duck call.
Yeah, come by and say hello and make some new friends.
Shoot, yeah, you know, I'm going to be there. And we encourage everyone to come out who enjoys the outdoor lifestyle. It's not just for waterfowlers. There's something for deer hunters, turkey hunters. It truly is a celebration for sportsmen from all over our country. Jim, after the decoys are set out and LST finally rolls around, what is the most important thing to do when opening up communication with a group of ducks that is interested in your spread but have not made up their mind to commit?
really it all comes down into talking them into giving up. And it depends on that bunch of ducks. You know, a lot of times in our part of the world, you get decoys set against shooting time, you're watching the sky, seeing what's going on. You got ducks that are maybe cruising the area looking for a place to sit down. They may have been in the fields all night, coming back to the wood. Or maybe some ducks trading from point A to point B. Once you make that decision on what kind of ducks you got, that's going to kind of give you an idea on how hard you're going to hit them on the first try, the first opening of communication, as you say. First thing I'm going to do is kind of feel them out. You know, calling ducks is a whole lot like calling turkeys. You got to take the temperature of every bunch you're talking to.
Right.
I'll hit them with a short lick and just see how they react, how they respond. Sometimes they'll bow up and come straight to it. Other times you won't see a difference in wing beat or anything. So there's not any one thing that I might do in that situation. May get more aggressive, may get more quiet, may just start chattering. Just depends on that bunch of ducks.
We don't have as much flooded timber in Texas as y'all do in Arkansas, and a lot of our hunting is done on open water of big reservoirs. How different is your calling approach when hunting flooded timber compared to open water?
Probably not a whole lot. You know, one of the...
Let me cut you off for just 1 second, because that is completely different than everything I've ever heard, especially from some of you Arkansas boys. And, you know, there's a school of thought out there that says you need to tone down your calling significantly when hunting flooded timber.
Well, that's where I was kind of going with it. You know, for the most part, you hear people say, and being in the call-making business, we're somewhat guilty of it. You hear folks say, oh, this is a timber call. It's a quiet, mellow call. Would be blown and used in the woods only, or small areas. Now, this is an open water call to be used on big, bald, open reservoirs in Texas. My personal opinion is, in the woods, I want the loudest, raspiest call I can wrap my hands around in the woods. It's easier to blow a loud call soft than it is to blow a soft call loud. You know when to back off of it, but you also got to have the horsepower and the punch to turn one around or get one's attention. You know, a lot of times the ducks we kill are ducks that we call trading ducks. They're high ducks going from point A to point B. They may be going to a rest area or leaving a rest area going somewhere else. And we're trying to stop them in the middle. So I believe in having a call that I can blow loud and raspy and get their attention. If I'm hunting a big open water lake somewhere, I blow pretty much the same way at those ducks as I do in the woods. The only difference being sometimes in the woods, I like to troll. Every so often, I just start acting like a 200-pound mounted hen, making a lot of racket, just trying to get ducks to hear me and come see what the noise is about. Whereas a lot of times on that open water reservoir, you can see them farther than you can see them in the woods. So I believe in having a loud call about anywhere I go, with the idea that it's easier to take that loud call again and blow it soft than it is to take a quiet call and blow it loud. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to hunt ducks from Canada to Louisiana, and I have found that a mallard hen pretty much sounds like a mallard hen wherever you go. Calling style should be based around a mallard duck, not what somebody thinks you should do in Texas or Arkansas or Louisiana or North Dakota. A duck's a duck wherever you go.
Right on. Can't argue with that. A mallard is a mallard no matter where you go. Jim, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to put you on the Smokin' Tex hot seat, and we're going to find out if there's a duck that gives you fits from time to time. Also, what duck do you think maybe isn't playing with a full deck, as in, they're sure easy to kill? What duck tastes the best, among other things? We'll be right back with more from World Duck Calling Champion Jim Ronquist. You're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
You got to show me the money, or I'll show you the door.
The Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo is coming to the Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center in Grapevine, May 28th through 30th. And everything outdoors will be there. Outdoor gear for ducks, whitetail, turkey, fishing, and more. Seminars from outdoor experts, wildlife art exhibits, retriever demonstrations, and much more. Free parking available. Be there May 28th through 30th at the Gaylord Texan Resort and Convention Center for the Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo, sponsored by Heavy Shot and Ford Trucks. To learn more, visit expo.ducks.org.
Every sportsman needs a gun safe to protect his gun collection, and that's why I called my buddies at ANC Gun Safes. ANC is a family-owned business that prides itself on having the best customer service policy in the industry. ANC Gun Safe specializes in Winchester safes as well as new lightly scratched or dented safes that they sell to outdoorsmen at huge discounted prices. They also guarantee safe shipping on every order. Call Adam at 817-228-1184 or check out their great selection of gun safes at www.acsafes.com. That's acsafes.com.
We all know that outdoorsmen are rough on their gear, rough on their dogs, and rough on themselves. So whether you fall out of a deer stand or wreck your face in an ATV accident, let Dr. Connie Smith fix your broken teeth. Dr. Smith has been practicing in Dallas for over 20 years and is conveniently located at the intersection of Preston and Forest. Experience state-of-the-art dentistry delivered by a gentle and highly skilled dentist and staff and a warm, caring atmosphere. Dr. Connie J. Smith uses state-of-the-art dental techniques to help you achieve the beautiful smile of your dreams. Call 972-239-7551. That's 972-239-7551.
All right, guys and gals, spring turkey is finally here, and if you're like me, you're looking for a great way to show off that trophy gobbler. With a full line of turkey fan mounting kits, Texas European Mounts has you covered. From their traditional oak plaques to a truly Texan mesquite plaque, there's something for everyone. So whether you're a hobbyist or a full-time taxidermist, Texas European Mounts has what you need. Check them out at www.texaseuropeanmounts.com or give them a call at 940-631-4334. That's www.texaseuropeanmounts.com.
Hey, this is Chris Knight, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show on 95.3 The Range.
Love and a 45 for all you need to get through the night. Wanna kill you, wanna keep you alive. Love and a 45.
Good morning, Capel Smith, welcoming you back into this morning's presentation, and I've still got world champion duck caller Jim Ronquist of Rich and Tone Game Calls on the line. Jim, we don't have any time to waste this morning, so let me go ahead and put you on the Smoke and Text hot seat and ask you if there's a specific species of duck out there that from time to time just makes you crazy.
Well, I don't know. There's times that this duck will just fall all over you and make a fair day a great day, and there's other days this duck will make things the most frustrating duck in the world, and that is everybody's favorite, the gadwall. Frustrate me more than any other dabbling duck out there. Huh. You'll blow a lick at them and they'll come hard, then they'll quit. Or you'll be working a bunch of mallards and you have a bunch of gaddies come blowing through them like they're coming hard and picking mallards up and take them off. They, to me, are the most frustrating dabbling duck to work on a regular basis, at least in our part of the world. Now, that being said, the other ducks that tend to be harder to handle, especially in the woods, pintails. You know, it's seldom that you shoot a pintail hunting in the woods, which, not that I hunt in the woods every day, but being a public ground duck hunter, when we got good water conditions, I pretty much am hunting in the woods. And you just don't shoot many pintails in the woods, and you don't really try. You'll kill some on occasion that'll come in with a group of mallards, but pretty much they're rather tough.
Now, it's funny to me that you mentioned the gadwall is so frustrating because myself and some of my closest waterfowling buddies, we refer to the gray duck as training wheel ducks just because we kill a lot of them and they never seem to be as wary as the other species. Jim, maybe you're just too good at calling, you know? Maybe the gadwalls are actually too stupid to realize what an actual duck call sounds like. I don't know, because I'm sure my calling is a far cry from yours, so... But I couldn't agree with you more as far as the pintail goes. They are finicky and frustrate the heck out of me.
I'd have to agree. But the gadwall to us, he's just frustrating. I don't know if it's – he kind of wants to be where we're at, but he really doesn't want to. You'll blow at them, and sometimes and they'll come hard. And you think, oh, boy, here we go. And then at the last minute, they'll pull up and go somewhere else or screw up the bunch you're working. They can just be a real pain in the rear.
Jimbo, how important is it for a duck hunter to familiarize themselves with the different noises that different species make, you know, like the pintail whistle and then, of course, the widgeon, as well as the mallard drake whistle? Do you think most duck hunters feel if they can just imitate a mallard hen, they'll have success hunting every type of dabbling duck?
You said earlier, communication. You and I both speak the same language. We understand each other. Other ducks may respond to a mallard hen call. No different than if we were in a foreign country and we heard a bunch of folks, and we knew they were trying to talk to us, but we had no idea what they were saying. So you would try to figure out what they wanted. Whereas other duck species, one, it's good to know their vocalizations just for identification purposes. How many times have you been in a duck blind or something before daylight and you heard, hey, there goes some wedges. I hear some gadwalls. You hear them pintails whistling. You recognize and identify those different species by the sounds they make. I think a lot of duck hunters think that all those ducks sound like a mallard hen, which is not true. That's not to say that we've all heard a blue-winged teal, you know, make a short decrescendo like a mallard. You hear a gadwall and a pintail also make something somewhat similar, but they also had their main vocalizations are different than a mallard's. And I think saying that, the better you'll be at working ducks.
Well, let me ask you more specifically, do you ever imitate other ducks besides a mallard hen, say a pintail, widgeon, gadwall, whatever?
If I'm hunting, I don't a lot personally, but if we're hunting in a field, so to speak, I like to make sure that one of my hunting partners has either uses a dog whistle or has a pintail whistle. We're looking at building a custom pintail whistle at our place. I look for folks to have something to emulate those sounds, like the drake whistle. You know, there's a lot of guys carry them, and there's a lot to be said for them old drakes sitting there scraping.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can add a fair amount of realism to what you're hunting. However, if you just go back to communicating with mallard ducks, the hen's going to do most of the talking anyway. So really, you're just adding something to it to be a little different. But the more realistic you can paint that picture, the better off you're going to be.
Okay, a no-brainer here. What's your favorite duck to shoot?
Oh, Mr. Green Top.
I figured that one was coming. What's your favorite shot size?
Plain old steel shot, my favorite load, Winchester Supremes, number twos.
So you like a lot of bang for your buck there. All right.
Yes, sir.
Favorite duck to eat?
Oh, favorite duck to eat. Green wing teal, mallard, widgeon, gadwall.
All right. Just a few more questions here before I let you go.
They're good ones, I might add. Very good questions.
Well, I appreciate that. Jimbo, have you ever had a close call while you were duck hunting where you felt you were fortunate to have made it out of there in one piece?
Yes. Back in my guiding days, I had a fella shoot the hat off my head.
Oh, my gosh.
That will make a fat boy go to knee shaking really quick.
I mean, I'm almost speechless. What did you say to this fella?
Well, you know, everybody said, dang, Jimbo, you big fella, did you wear him out? No. I was too scared and then too happy to be alive to worry about anything until I got my composure together. And then all I did was get the boat and say, we're going home.
I mean, we've all had a few close calls, I guess, but to almost have your noggin blown clean off, all I can say is wow.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary deal. Now, I've had a few other, you know, occasions. We've all been up in the bottoms and had boat motors quit. And fortunately, I've never knocked a hole in a boat and never had anybody shoot a hole in a boat. Of course, we've had motors die, that kind of stuff. Blew a motor up one time downstream of the camp, which is not ever good.
Mm-mm. How many bands you got?
Oh, I don't know. Not terrible many. Oh, maybe half a lanyard full. Now, I've had my hands on quite a few more than that and had some stole out of my truck. I used to think it was cool when you're done duck hunting to go to the cheeseburger joint and hang your duck collars up by the rearview mirror until somebody liked them more than I did.
That's no good, Jimbo.
Bands are an interesting deal. You know, there's been lots of old friendships gone to the wayside over a piece of aluminum with some numbers on it.
Yeah, you know, I've never actually been fortunate enough to harvest a band. I keep telling myself, maybe next season, but unfortunately it seems I'm always singing that same song and dance at the end of every season.
One thing about it, you have to be present to win.
Yeah, that is true.
You have to be there to get it done.
Jim, coolest place you've ever been duck hunting?
One of the coolest areas besides home. Bottom line, Hardwood Bottoms of Arkansas is my very favorite. I think the coolest place in the world to duck hunt. However, aside from there, two areas that I've always thought were very cool were the Columbia River Basin in Washington State and hunting the big, high, rolling prairie hills in Alberta that were so different than what I'm used to, for one, made it extremely interesting to try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And two, just because they're such in distance, so far away from what you used to being at.
Yep, the Alberta duck hunting trip is definitely on my bucket list. Everyone, be sure to head out to the 73rd Annual Ducks Unlimited Sporting Expo. It's right here in our backyard at the Gaylord Texan, May 28th through the 30th. Stop by the R&T booth and tell Jim Ronquist hello. You probably can call him Jimbo if you want to.
You bet, partner. We'll see you.
Man, time flies when you're having fun. We are about out of time this morning. Thanks to Ducks Unlimited for hooking us up with Jim Ronquist. Thanks to Sam Callaway, the lucky angler who caught Sherlunker number 500. And, of course, also thanks to Roger Krager for being a part of the show this morning. Next week, we talk campus carry legislation with State Senator Jeff Wentworth. We're also going to try to track down an experienced helicopter gunner who has taken out his fair share of hogs. What would be cooler than shooting 200 or 300 hogs in a day and getting paid to do it? DU will also hook us up with another special guest, so you're not going to want to miss next week. Thanks to all our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.